Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. And as we jump into the message, I want to start with some exciting things that are happening here at Christ Community Church. The first off is, if you all turn around and look back at Beth back there. Hey, Beth. She is sitting at one of two tables where you can go and sign up for the summit. And we want you to go back there and sign up for the summit. It's next Sunday at 1 p.m. after the last service. It's really important that as many of us can be there as possible. The first thing we're going to be doing is talking about some important theological issues, what the boundaries are, and as we discuss those, we want to go through those and understand where we stand as a church, and that's the name of the summit as well. And then one of the main topics during that part will be the role of men and women as well. In addition to that, Greg will be looking for your input on the pastoral profile, on what that looks like and what some of the absolutes need to be and those type of things. So it's important that you come out and you speak into that as well, because as a church, we're discerning what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through the Word of God and through His people. Amen? So make sure you sign up to that. Listen, you don't have a single excuse not to be there unless someone's getting married and you have to be in the wedding, okay? If you're just a participant, I'm just kidding. But there's really no excuses. It's a late game with the Patriots. There's childcare, and we're going to feed you, so there's none of that, okay? If you would like to volunteer for childcare, though, so others can go, we will be recording it so we could listen to it if you missed it because you were providing childcare. We would like some help with that as well. I got a second thing to share with you. We have a trip to our annual trip to Guatemala is during February break again, and it's open to teens and adults. And we have a really exciting trip planned. We're going to be going to a new village in February. It's out in the jungle. It's further away than where we've been before. The need is really strong there, and we're really looking forward to see what God has for that. The time is short, though, so there's a link on our website, on our Facebook page. You can go to the Welcome Center, ask Sarah about it, but we do need you to sign up for that. And there's a meeting coming up October 13th after the Saturday service, so be a part of that. Last but not least, Kid Connect has been planning this really great new ministry, and I want you guys all for a moment to watch this video from Tina. She's going to share some exciting things with us.
Hi, church. We are super excited to announce that Kid Connect is starting a youth group for 3rd through 5th grade. Fearless youth, and we need you. That's right. We're looking for men and women to volunteer in helping us to raise up the next generation of fearless kids. If this is something God's putting on your heart, or you simply want more information, then come out to our volunteer interest meeting. This will be October 6th here at the Stevens Street campus in room number 2 at 2 o'clock. We can't wait to see you there. Building God's kingdom! Building God's kingdom! Yay!
There was no way I was going to be that excited about it, right? But now I want to go, so listen, sign up for that, and we want to be a part of that. Church, God is doing awesome things. I have the privilege of hearing from so many of you and what God is doing in your individual lives, what He's doing through the church here and out in the community, and we are really excited about it. There's another really great thing that's happening as I talk with people, whether it's in groups, in the staff meetings, with the elders or individuals. There's this real sense in the Spirit and through the Holy Spirit that God is on the verge of doing another great work in and through Christ Community Church here in the future. Amen. You know, God has done amazing things here over the years, absolutely amazing. We are literally now experiencing the fruit of the faithful prayers and the hard work of the many saints who have come before us. And we're experiencing it right now. We're standing actually in a room that was built on prayer and built on self-sacrifice and volunteer labor for the purpose of, not that we could have a nice room to sit in. It's a beautiful room though, isn't it? Not for so much for that purpose, that we can be equipped to go out and reach this world for the gospel. And that we can be the church and have this space to learn all the wonderful things about Jesus and who He is, His beauty and majesty, His power and plan for our life, because guess what? We can learn about that until He comes back or we go to be with Him. Amen. But as we consider all the things that God has done, we really have this sense that God is on the verge of doing another great work in and through Christ Community Church. And I know that you believe the same thing. As we talk about this tonight, there's another thing that's been coming up a lot lately, And when we set out to do something big for the Lord, we need to know that there is a real enemy at work in our life and in the world who would rather not have that happen. In fact, a little bit more than rather, his whole goal in life is to have that not happen. He wants to maintain the people that are in the kingdom of darkness. He wants to keep them there, and he does not want us to press up against that with the power of the gospel. Speaking of the power of the gospel, I need to do one thing before I go any further. The message title today is Be Strong, okay? But not in my might or your might, but be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. As we've talked with folks, as we see what God is doing, we do see a work happening. But we also see a large amount of spiritual warfare going on. And tonight we're going to talk about that. Now, if this is a new topic for you, I don't want you to be freaked out about it. It's not going to get spooky and weird at any point in this message or any of our service tonight, okay? I just want you to know that. In fact, the whole purpose of tonight's message is that we won't be afraid, but that we will be aware of the fact that there is a spiritual battle going on. That we won't be afraid, but we'll understand and be equipped on how to properly fight that battle in our own personal life and out in the world as we do the work of the gospel. So that's why we're here tonight. Our service is going to look a little bit different. This service is going to end a little different than normal. As Bree shared, we have some white buckets in the back. So as we worship through giving, you're going to do that as the service ends tonight. As we come to the end of the message, though, tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. We're going to give you an opportunity to do some business with the Lord and to proclaim victory in Christ Jesus, to begin to whatever it is in your life that you came in struggling with tonight, the thing that has been fighting against all the stuff that God is trying to do in your life. We want to give you an opportunity tonight to find freedom and victory. And we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to respond, and we're going to close with a song. So the service is going to look a little different tonight in that regard. As we think about this message that we have, I've taken us to a place, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. So I'd like you to go ahead and stand. We're going to read that here to get started tonight. You can follow along in your Bibles. You can read it on the screen. And this is going to be our text, and I'm going to take you to a few places in Scripture here tonight, but this will be our main text for this evening. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you here to acknowledge the authority of your word, God. It's the authority in our lives. It's the authority of this church, God. God, we do declare that it's fully inspired through the Holy Spirit and it is without error. And God, we give your word freedom in our life right now. May these words not be my words, but may they be your words. God, speak to us through that divine power of the Holy Spirit here tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, that you care for us, God, that we thank you and we proclaim that we know the battle is already won in Christ Jesus. So God, as we discover how to fight that battle more effectively here as we learn to live like Jesus, God, open up our hearts to a new thought as we study your scripture. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I have a couple things for you. I know you probably got a bulletin as you came in. I'm actually going to encourage you. I know some of you love taking notes, and I know I spit out a lot of verses, and you're always trying to write them down. I tried to put every verse I'm going to quote, no promises, in the bulletin for you. I'd like to encourage you, if you want to take notes, that's okay, no hard feelings. I want to encourage you to take that bulletin and either put it on the seat beside you or put it in the seat pocket in front of you. We also have this spiritual warfare outline. It's free. It's at the front, at the Welcome Center. It'll dig in a little bit more to the armor of God, which we're not going to talk a lot about tonight, but I want to equip you with the right tools in order to understand how to fight the spiritual battle. It's a great outline. It's written by David Guzik, who is a Calvary Chapel pastor, In addition to that, there's more information if you want to get a community group question sheet. That's also there, which also highlights the message. If you're in a community group, they'll be going over that this week. The reason why I want you to not take notes tonight, if possible, and just go back and look at it, you can watch it online afterwards as well, after tomorrow's 9 o'clock service, is that I want us to really focus and reflect tonight on listening with our heart. Now, I believe that all of you listen with your heart. I'm not saying that. But I want us to fully listen with our heart tonight as we discuss this battle with this spiritual warfare that we fight in life. I want us to listen with our heart. And my heart is that my heart will be changed and your heart will be changed. You see, as I've heard all the great things that are going on in the church, I've also heard a lot of things that people are struggling with. I've heard a lot of people feeling like they're just being attacked on all sides. I've heard people who have gone and got checked out and their health is perfect and they're getting the right amount of sleep and eating the right diet, but for some reason they have a fatigue that won't go away. I've heard of many people who are still reading their Bible every day, but for some reason there's a block that they just can't seem to shake and it doesn't have the same flavor that it was having at one point in their life. I've talked with people who have their prayer life has fallen such to the side because they just feel hindered in their prayers on a regular basis. And some of them have even come to a place where they've stopped praying altogether. I've talked with some who feel as though they're just drawing away, or I've even reached out to them, they're drawing away from those Christian relationships that were fueling them and growing them in the Lord. They've been drawing away from those things. I've talked with others that the sins of their past just seem to be knocking at their door and calling them on the phone and hitting them up on Facebook and trying to hang out with them, and they can't seem to escape the sins of their past. I've talked with others that just seem to be in a place where they're battle weary, that they've been fighting the same sin so long in their life they just can't seem to overcome it, that it's renting space in their life, that it's taking up residence in a way that they just can't seem to break free from what it is they're doing. You see, in your personal lives and in our church, there's a spiritual battle going on. And as we go through the message tonight, I want you to consider, because I might not say the thing you struggle with, but it doesn't mean that you don't struggle. So I want you to be considering where you're struggling and how you're struggling, because at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward here and to repent before the Lord and to proclaim His authority over your life. Because for those of you that have received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when He came and died on a cross similar to this, guess what He did? He purchased your life. He declared authority over sin and Satan in this life. And now you, in Christ Jesus, are in Christ's authority. And by that, you have authority of the powers and principalities that are holding you back in life. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. In fact, last Sunday, it wasn't even that I was doing a direct research. It just kept coming my way. I'm in the lobby, and a young woman who recently came to know the Lord about 8-9 months ago, her and her husband, she comes up to me and she starts telling me about these attacks that are happening. Talking about the things that are going on and the way that they feel like they're just being attacked on all sides and being drawn back into their old ways, and they just, as hard as they're trying, they just can't do it. And something snapped inside of me. Something snapped. I had heard it one too many times, and I thought, you know what? This message this weekend was supposed to be on discipleship, and right there it came out of my mouth. She, I think, was a little shocked by it. I go, you know what? I'm changing my message next week. We're talking about spiritual warfare, because you know what? I've had enough. I've had enough. And if we're going to be the church moving forward, we need to be prepared on how we fight that battle, because we do not fight it with human powers or human strength. And every time we try to fight a spiritual battle with a human power, guess what? We fail and we end up in captivity. You know, the thing we don't realize as born-again Christians, yes, we've been set free from the grave, we've been set free from sin, but we can still live in bondage to certain sins in our life. Why? Because we've allowed them to come in and take up residency. Now, maybe you don't believe in spiritual warfare. Maybe you think that all this is kind of boogity-woogity, as my friend Jack would say, okay, or hoogity-boogity, I think he says, right? Maybe that's how you feel about it, but let me point this out. If you believed that you needed a Savior because your soul was going to go to hell when you die, if you didn't have a Savior to save you from your sins, then you needed to then believe that you were saved from something. So if you deny that spiritual warfare doesn't exist, then you actually deny the need for a Savior to begin with. The verse that we have today is say that we don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle against the powers and the principalities and the forces of this dark world in a heavenly realm. And that battle happens two ways. It happens internal and it happens external. You see, this internal battle, if we go to James chapter 1, I want to show you this because sometimes, for those of us that believe in the spiritual battle, sometimes we can actually, instead of deny it, we can go so far the other way, continue to live in sin and say, I'm under grace and the sin I live, it's just, I'm going to blame it on the devil. It's the devil's fault. He's the one. Devil made me do it. If anyone's older and remembers Flip Wilson, right? The devil made me do it. I had to look that one up. That's even a little before my day. Sorry. When's the last time we can't laugh around here? Come on. Let me share this passage with you. It's James chapter 1, verse 12, because here's the internal battle that we fight. And we'll get to Satan and his dominion in a minute. It says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Man, I love this verse. Man, we can just persevere. That we can stand under trial, that we've stood the test, that the person, that's you, that you will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised you to those who love him. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, he's promised you a crown of life. But you know what happens is we get complacent in our life and we begin to try and fight a spiritual battle with human powers and we don't stand strong, we don't be strong in the Lord and his mighty strength, and guess what? We try and fail. And we don't just do it once, we do it over and over and over and over again, and before you know it, we're in this bondage, we're ineffective, and we begin to be drawn away from the life that Christ Jesus wanted us to have. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away in their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, we know, most of you know, that in Romans 8, verse 39, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? Even death itself. But the thing we need to know is that the death this is talking about is a death on this earth, that our relationship with Christ Jesus comes to a place where we feel like we've come to this spiritual death. I'm not going to have you raise hands, but I'm sure everyone in this room that's been following the Lord has had moments where you felt like that. Now listen, you might hear the enthusiasm and the power in my voice today. So you know why? Why I'm this way is because I'm coming out swinging, okay? Let me tell you this. I'm tired of it. You should be tired of it. We need to decide for ourselves that we're going to fight this battle based on God's term, with God's power and God's way, and we're going to win this fight. You know why? Because it's already been won right here on the cross. I'm coming out swinging. I'm not swinging at you. I'm going to share a few things that might hurt just a little, but I'm swinging for you and I'm swinging with you because we're in this together. This message is not me preaching to you. It's us learning it together from the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. James Moore says that this way is that when we accept Jesus Christ, Jesus owns our house. If we're the house, Jesus owns our house. But yet, as believers, we leave all our doors and windows open and invite Satan in to hang out. Think about that for a moment. What door or window is open in your life? You may tell me that you're not under the control of sin. You may tell me that you haven't given authority to Satan in areas of your life. It sounds, again, a little far out, doesn't it? Just think about this for a moment. What about the sin of complacency? What about the sin of comfort? What about the sin of gossip? How about the sin of believing lies about ourselves or others? What about the sin of lust? What about the thoughts that we have? You know, the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to hold every thought captive. Are we holding our thoughts captive, or are we holding resentment against our brothers and sisters in the Lord? What are we doing? Are we proclaiming Christ Jesus but still fantasizing about the past life we used to have or the future life we may have or about our neighbor's wife or about the job promotion that someone else got and we're building resentment about it? What are we doing? You see, the initial battle starts internally. It starts in our mind, and then it leads to an action, and that action then leads to more destruction, and that destruction eventually leads to death, and we're leaving the windows and doors of our houses open. I want you to picture you're in your home for a moment, wherever that is, whether it's a house, apartment, condo, townhouse, whatever it is. Your phone starts buzzing, and this alert comes up. Sometimes we get these alerts over our cell networks, right? Let's say an alert comes up and there's an armed felon running loose in your neighborhood. It's 80 degrees outside. All your doors or windows are open. Your kid's out playing in the yard. You're going to hang out, maybe make some lemonade, get your comfy chair out in the yard. You're going to invite him in to hang out with you? Is that what your plan is? But yet we do that now, don't we? We turn our TV on and we watch things that we know are not honoring to God. We have conversations that are dishonoring to God. We believe things about ourselves that we know aren't true because they're in God's word, that they're not true. And we live in bondage to these things. Now listen, I am not going to list a whole list of sins up here today. I didn't probably even name yours, but every person in this room has something that we hang on to that we need to find victory in our life from. And now, the devil is looking to get in to whatever our weakness is. We'll talk about that in a moment. But here's the thing that you need to know. That if there's something in your life, if there's something in your life that you know is not honoring to God, whether or not you call it sin, the Word of God does. If there is something in your life, if there is something in your life that you know, an action, a relationship, a show you watch, whatever, a thought, whatever the case may be, only you know. And I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud at any point in the service today, okay, so you're safe, but I want you to listen to this with your heart and do some business with the Lord Jesus Christ right here in the seats. But if we are doing things in our life that we know are dishonoring to God, whether or not you call them sin, we know that the Word of God does. So here's the thing. If we've been saved from our sin, if we're no longer under the control of sin, yet we continually have this perpetual thing in our life that we know is dishonoring to God, that thing begins to control us. Now, you might say, oh, I just dabble a little bit. I don't look at hardcore porn anymore. I just look at the soft stuff. Yeah, I know that one hurt a little bit, but it's the truth. Oh, I'm not gossiping. I'm just sharing a prayer request. Ouch, oof, that one hurt just a little, but it's true. Come on. Hey, I love my neighbor, but I don't want to give him the time of day or talk with him or any of those kind of things because he's this, that, or the other thing. But I love him, though. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. Oh, yeah, I've forgiven that person, but, you know, I don't really need him in my life anymore, and I don't need to have any more conversations with him. We're good. We're moving on. That's called resentment. It's called unforgiveness. And all of those things will eat away at your soul. And what did our passage say in James? It says that it grows to the point of death. But we leave these windows and doors open in our life. You can try and say that those sins, whatever it is, the one you're thinking about right now, you can say it doesn't have control over your life. Let me ask you this question. How long have you been battling it? How long have you been battling it? If you came home tonight and there was an intruder in your house, what would you do? Would you put on a pot of coffee and pull up your cozy chair, bring him a blanket? Would you? That's what I've done in my life. I've made sin a home. I've justified. I said, well, I do all these good things over here, so these one or two things isn't a big deal. Well, that's called spiritual pride. We think we're good enough in this area that, you know, God's not going to look at this other side. But we invite sin into our lives. Then we make it a home. No, if you came home and there was an intruder in your house, you'd be like, get yourself on up out of here, all right? Y'all seen Madea? She'd be like, oh no, you best be going. You don't have to go home. You don't have to stay here. All right? We know how it's going to be, right? Like, you know, hey, Satan, get out my house. But we invite spiritual warfare into our life. We fight this battle. Our sin nature, every time we set out to grow, to invite the Holy Spirit into our life, every time we set out to apply the Word of God in a new way in our life, every time we try and break down the things we know that are wrong in our life and move to that new place and be transformed by the power of the cross and the gospel in our life, guess what? Sin is right there behind you. Wants to defeat you. It wants to whisper lies in your ears. It wants you to feel like you are the amount of your mistakes, that you'll never do good in the future. It wants you to live in fear, live in doubt. It wants you to live the lie that all the lies that you tell yourself and that others tell you, guess who they're from? Your sin nature and Satan. He wants to destroy you. That intruder that's in your house, what do you think he's there for? He doesn't want to just steal your TV. He wants to do you harm. And not only does he want to come and steal your joy and your hope, he wants to destroy your house and your family and your life. He wants you to be not only ineffective, but he wants you to be a crumbled up mess and a bad testimony to the world and the neighbors and the people around you in your life. That's what the enemy wants. But yet we've given control of those things in our life. We've let it define our future. We've let it hold us back from the life that God has called us to live. Now, the word I'm going to use is authority. I want you to think of this. If you've given control to someone or something, we've given that thing authority in our life. What have you given authority in your life? If the thing that you have, and I'm hoping you have something in your mind and on your heart right now, think about that thing. If it dictates your life in any way, shape, or form, you've not only given it control, but you've given it authority because it is making decisions for you and how you're going to act and how you spend your time and where your thoughts are and all the things that go along with that, whatever a case may be. You've given those things authority in your life. Let's call it what it is. It's sin, and you've given sin authority in your life. That is spiritual warfare, my friends. You want to know why the Word of God isn't there? It's because that sin, why it doesn't have that same meaning that it maybe once had, or why your prayer life is hindered, or why you feel like you are, unworthy or inadequate in your life, or why you're holding on to resentment, why you can't forgive people. Do you know why? Because that sin goes unrepentant. You see, we're holding it, we're coddling it, and we don't want to repent it. We don't want to call what it is. We don't want to drag it into the light. I put a couple posts on Facebook this week, the windows with the bars with the barrel in front of it. I took that in a fort in Puerto Rico called El Morro. It's been there 500 years. It stood the test of time, but it's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. Now, we may think of a stronghold as a bad thing, but let me tell you, if the sin is the stronghold in your life, if it has made a stronghold in your life, or that sin is the thing you run to when you have those emotional needs, when you're having a stressful day, guess what? You've made that sin into a stronghold. But you know what Scripture tells us? Who Scripture tells us our stronghold is? His name is Jesus. For the Lord is my stronghold, for he's my deliverer, for he is my refuge in whom I will run. Not whatever it is you have in your mind right now. You see, we got to break the bondage. We can't allow anything to be a stronghold in our life other than Christ Jesus. But it starts with repentance. It starts with repentance. You see, we can talk about spiritual bondages of church and spiritual warfare with the church. Well, guess what? We are the church. This building is not the church. We're the church. And spiritual warfare and breaking free in bondage and living in freedom and proclaiming the authority in the name of Jesus starts with me, and it starts with you, and it starts with us. Can I get an amen on that one? We need to stop giving authority to these things in our life. That's that internal struggle. Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. You see, when we call him Lord, that means that we've given him authority over every single area of our life. that every area of our life is supposed to be under the authority of Christ Jesus, but we remain in bondage to these things in our life because we keep giving them authority as opposed to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And when we do that, now we begin to enter into not just an internal battle, but an external battle. I want to share a little bit with you here about authority. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness." Does that sound like what I'm talking about? "But rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master. Because you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. Grace has set us free. It set us free from death, and it sets us free every day. And when we think about that place of repentance, we need to understand who Satan is. It, that external battle, if you look when you get home, or you could peek now, we'll put it on the screen, but this external battle, we need to understand who the enemy is. You see, all those things we struggle with, he uses that as intel on us. He's a liar. This is what Scripture calls him. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's a devouring lion. He's a deceiver, and he's a schemer. Let me tell you what schemer means. That means that he has an intel and an organized plan and a legion, okay, of fallen angels who are doing their work and planning an attack on you. It calls him in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be on alert and sober-minded." Be on alert and sober-minded. Listen, church, we don't have to be afraid because we have the power of Christ Jesus living right here inside of us, and the war has been won. But it says, be alert and sober-minded. We can't ignore that. We need to know that we need to be aware that we fight a spiritual battle, because what happens is we fall back into old behavior patterns and we begin to try and fight them with human power. My power fails over and over and over again. Come on, we all screw it up daily. We need the power of Christ Jesus in our life. But it says that he roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, all of you have seen the Discovery Channel. When I was growing up, Sunday, 7 o'clock, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's where we were. But listen, you've all seen this shot before of how a lion hunts, right? I want you to think about the reason why it talks about a lion, okay? There's no mistakes in Scripture, because what does a lion do? A lion wants to put fear in the heart of its prey. Put fear in the heart of its prey. It wants to scatter its prey. But before it does that, you know what they do? They hang around the herd. They look for weaknesses in the herd. They look for the sick ones and the weak ones. You know what they look for too? The ones who wander off from the flock. The ones that are alone, because, you know, if you get 700 or 800 zebras together, boy, that's a lot of hoofs to battle, isn't it? But that's what they're looking for, and they begin to separate them out. And once they get one separated, once they've identified the weak one, the one that's being drawn away and given that opportunity, guess what they do? They attack, and they begin to devour. But you see, church, we have nothing to fear. You know why? Because God has given us all the power that we need in the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and our greatest weapon, prayer. Amen. That's why Ephesians 6:18 says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and supplications. We are going to move this church forward on our knees in prayer. The battle is fought on prayer. I have a quote for you from R.A. Torrey, and as we continue on here, and I want to share that with you. It says, "The reason why many fail in the battle is because they wait until the hour of the battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle." Church, right now some of us are fighting a battle, and we're going to fight that battle on our knees here at the end of this service. But we also need to be prepared for the battle that's ahead of us. You see, if we're prepared, there's nothing to be afraid of. When we're together, there's nothing to be afraid of. I want you to look at this picture of these elephants. Now, if there was lions around, I'm going to hang out in the middle of this pack, aren't you? Did you know that the average African male, fully grown African male elephant weighs 12,000 pounds? 6 tons. 6 tons. 12,000 pounds. Guess how they fight their battles against lions? They circle up. They circle up. None of their back is exposed. They circle up and they fend off an attack. They put the young ones and the little ones and the weak ones inside and the pregnant moms. They protect their own herd like an elephant. Well, guess what? We are the church, and we can learn a lesson from God's creation here, that the reason why he wants us to be the church, the reason why we're pushing community groups so much, is because we need to be stick together. We need to grow. We need to be praying for one another, growing in faith and relationship with one another, and we need to be protecting one another. That's what elephants do. And guess what? Guess what? Each one of you, you have a 12,000-pound elephant living inside of you. His name's the Holy Spirit, okay? And you think a 12,000-pound elephant is powerful? The power of the Holy Spirit is what created that elephant. Wrap your mind around that one for a minute. We need to do two things here today. First and foremost, if we're going to repent, we actually have to admit that there's something we're going to repent of. After we admit there's something to repent of, we need to take responsibility for it. We live in a culture that never takes responsibility for anything. Amen. Think about it. We blame it on our spouse. We blame it on our kids. We blame it on our boss. We blame it on the culture. We blame it on the world. We blame it on Satan. We blame it on the rain. We blame it on whatever we can blame it on, as long as we don't blame it on ourselves. So we have to call it what it is, and then we need to take responsibility for it. You know why? Because Satan might have whispered in your ear, but he didn't make you resent that person. You did. The sinfulness in us may cause us to not want to forgive and hold on to that anger, but Satan didn't cause you to do that, nor did the person that you're holding resentment or anger or unforgiveness towards. You're doing that. Satan didn't cause you to get on that website. You clicked that button. Satan didn't cause you to have a fit of anger and lash out at your family member, your coworker. You did that. We need to understand that whatever it is that you're holding in your mind here today, the spiritual battles that you're fighting, it might be multiple fronts right now, but we need to understand that that battle starts with us repenting over these things. And as we repent over them, God makes us strong to face all the external battles that we have. So as we consider that, we need to take responsibility for it. But here's the other thing. Repentance, a lot of us think it's maybe an uncomfortable word, but the word repentance, actually, the confession piece is calling it what it is. That's the first part that I said. The next part is repentance. But what repentance is often it's described as this turning from, right? It's this changing direction towards God. But what it really means, if you studied, it means is that we change our mind, meaning our heart. You see, as we learn to live like Jesus, we have to throw off everything that hinders us, and we have to pray prayers and renounce the sin that we've been given authority to in our life and ask God to change our heart and change our mind. That's what repentance is. It's not as ugly of a word as you would think it is, but we need to come to a place of repentance. The next thing we need to do is that thing that we've been given authority to in our life, we need to declare here today the authority of Christ Jesus over those things. He tells us that he's given us the authority over the powers and the principalities of this world. It is not our authority. It's not my authority. It's not your authority. We are doing this under the authority of Christ Jesus, but we have the power to cast that out of our own life and pray it over others' lives and cast that evil from here. We have the ability and the power in the authority of the name of Jesus to bind Satan and his attacks, okay? It's done through faith, through the word of God, by prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do it together. It's not spooky and weird. It's the word of God, and this is what we're going to do as a church. If you want to break free from the things that you've been given authority to in your life and proclaim the authority of the name of Jesus here today, we're going to do that right now. And ask the worship team to come. And as they come, I want you to be considering where you're at with the Lord. Consider how you came in here today. Might be a small thing, might be a big thing. Maybe someone's on your heart here today. First, we need to make it personal, but someone may be pressed on your heart that you need to be praying the authority of Jesus over them. Now, if you're new with us, we don't normally do church this way, okay? It's a little different today. But what I'm going to ask you to do today, while the worship team plays, is I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to take that step forward. And I'm going to ask you to come up here to the cross. You can stand, you can kneel, you can spread out, you can sit in the empty seats that are there. But as we talk about being strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, we have to begin to take that first step. And today is taking that first step to repent and to proclaim His authority over those areas of our life and also our church. And as you come, you can pray on your own. The worship team is going to play part of the song, and then I'm going to say a prayer on our behalf, mine included, okay, of repentance and then the authority of the name of Jesus over our lives. It's a first step, though. It needs to be followed up, though, with encouragement and accountability. If you're part of a community group, you'll be studying this week. You'll be studying this week in your community group. So make sure you get there and go through this process with them. But what you need in your life is another brother or sister who can encourage you, who can sharpen you, who can keep you on track and lift you up when you fall, and people you can be in authentic relationship with. Try it. Try it. You know what I've learned? The more authentic I am with people, I just put it out there. Sometimes there's this look of shock, but then they share with me what they're struggling with. And we come to this place of true fellowship and true koinonia, and it helps us to fight together the battle that God has called us to fight. I believe that God is on the verge of doing another great and miraculous work here in and through Christ Community Church, and we need to be prepared for battle. We need to come forward and stand strong together in the Lord. So as the worship team plays, we're going to stand at this time, and we're going to sing part of the song, but as the song is going on, I want to invite you to come up. It's going to take one or two people in each section to have courage. To have courage to just come forward, okay? If someone's in the row beside you, just give them a little tap. Either they'll come with you or they'll move out of the way. If you're not comfortable coming up, if you're not in that place yet today, I'd ask you to pray from your seats. But let's worship together here today. Let's worship together the Lord. Let's be strong together.
As I rise, strength of God.
First, we want to call it what it is, God. Lord, the things that we've been given control to in our life that are not honoring to you. The things, God, that have been wreaking havoc internally in our life, God, whatever that is, we hold it out before you right now, God. And I'm going to name some things, Lord, but I know they all won't be named, Father. So for whatever it is, God, I just pray that each person would speak it to you in their spirit right now as we pray, God, for your deliverance, Lord. God, whatever that might be, Father, whether it's a spirit of fear, God, a spirit of believing lies, God, a spirit of holding on to lust or immorality, God, whether it's a spirit of anger, Father, resentment or unforgiveness, a spirit of gossip, God, whatever that spirit is that we're holding on to here, God, we cast it out and we speak the authority of the name of Jesus over it, God. God, change our hearts and minds. We ask you to forgive us of that, Lord, and we proclaim your authority over that area of our life, and may it never return, God. Father, we ask that you would close those doors and windows, Father. God, whatever these spirits might be, Father, a spirit of dissension, a spirit of comfort and complacency, God, that we've made an idol in our life, God, we renounce that in the name of Jesus, God. We pray your authority over that right here today, God. May it rest no more in our life, God. We no longer want to give control to these things, Father. God, we pray against those spirits, Father, in the authority of the name of Jesus, Father. God, I think about every soul that's in the room here right now, Lord. As we proclaim you as Lord and Savior, Father, you are our authority, and sin no longer holds authority in our life, God. We proclaim that it no longer reigns in our body, and it will no longer reign in this church, God, that we will be vigilant, alert, and aware, God, to call things what they are, Father, to cast them out, Lord, to be vigilant and lovingly care with one another, Father, and continue to help one another, Father, to walk this journey in a way that's honoring to you, God. Father, may we be gathered in and watching each other's backs and blind spots as a church, God, as we pray your authority here and now, Father. God, I look at my brothers and sisters here, and Father, I put myself in this group here, God. We ask, God, to fill us with your Holy Spirit from head to toe right now, Lord. We ask, God, that you would be abundant and overwhelmingly present in our life, God. I pray, Father, for those who have lost the flavor for your word, God. I pray, Lord, when they go home and lift and open up your word, God, that it would just have power and meaning and life in it once again, because they've cast out the thing that has hindered your word in their life, God. I pray, God, that when they pray again, that they feel your presence in a powerful way, God, as we continue to speak your life and authority, Father, over our lives, God. I pray, God, that those that are on the verge of calling it quits in their life spiritually, God, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you are pursuing them, Father. We pray, Father, that you would do a work in their life, God, that they would proclaim the things that are inside of them that they've been holding on to, the lies they've been living, the fear they've been living in, Father, the sin that they've made a home and a room for in their house, God. We pray, Father, the authority in the name of Jesus over that, God. Father, may it be cast out once and for all, God, and may we come together as a church that no one gets separated from the flock. God, that no one, if they're tired or weary or weak or young in their faith, God, that we would come beside them and help them and carry them along, Father, through this journey, God. Give us eyes to see, Lord, the way you do. God, we thank you, Father. We pray over Christ Community Church, Father. We know, Lord, that you have given us a great opportunity here, God. You've blessed us, Father, through the work and the mighty prayers and the faith, Father, of the saints who are here and those who have gone before us, God. We are standing in the fruits, Father, of what, Lord, that you have built by your mighty hand. God, may we be good stewards of that moving forward, God. God, we pray that we would be vigilant and focused, Father, on living like you and helping others to do the same, God. Father, we love you. We love you. We're expectant of all that you're doing in us and what you're going to do in the future through us, God. And Father, we declare right now that you are the authority of this church. It is not the elders. It is not me. It is not other pastors or the staff or people that want to have their own particular way, God. But you are the authority over Christ Community Church, God. And you tell us in your word that you are, all authority has been given to you on heaven and on earth, God. And we declare that authority right now. God, we know that when we drag things into the light of Christ, that darkness has to run and hide, and darkness has not overcome it, Father. So, God, we proclaim that here today, Father. May we be a light that shines bright in this area of Massachusetts, God. We thank you, God, for this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can stay up here if you want. We're going to continue to worship, and then we're going to close out our service.